Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
The whole congregation of Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And after the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt, the whole congregation of Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you've brought us out in the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. And in that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. And on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it'll be twice as much as they gather in all the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I've heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread, and then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' And in the evening quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they didn't know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" Would you bow your heads with me, please? Almighty God, merciful God, all-powerful God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I started in chapter 16. I did verse 1, even though I was supposed to start with verse 2. But I wanted to kind of set the stage as far as what's going on, because it says they were heading into the wilderness, and it was the 15th day of the second month since they'd been delivered from Egypt. So that means it's been a month and a half, exactly a month and a half. It's been a month and a half since they were delivered, miraculously delivered through the Red Sea from slavery in Egypt. Through the Red Sea, the sea parted, walls of water on the right and on the left, a pillar of cloud that somehow magically gave them light as well, had been protecting them from the Egyptian army, and then the Egyptian army went in there, and the same water that they walked through, that water came and destroyed the most powerful army in the world at that time. All of that happened just a month and a half ago. Like, for us, that would be if it happened on, I figured out, July 9th, so not that long ago, just a little bit earlier, just a month and a half ago, they had been miraculously delivered in all this way. And as we pick up with Israel, they go into the wilderness, and it says the entire congregation of the Israelites complained. Every last one of them, every stinking one of them, just a month and a half into this thing, they go out there and they start complaining. Why are they complaining? Because they're hungry. That's the reason why they're complaining. This is a food emergency, and they are a bit dramatic here too. They're very dramatic. Ann and I were blessed. We were blessed to be able to go. We were in Nashville, Tennessee this past week at a conference, at the New Room Conference. It was just a wonderful and blessed time, a great time of worship and things like that. And so we drove down. So it was Ann and I and the four kids in the van driving down to Nashville. Now, Nashville, Tennessee, you may not know this, but it's a ways away. And it takes a while with young kids, and occasionally things would happen like the kids would get hungry, and it might get dramatic, right? Kind of dramatic. They're very hungry, and they're hungry now. They weren't hungry 5 seconds ago. They're hungry now. They don't have to go to the bathroom when you're at the bathroom. They have to go to the bathroom now, right? It's just like this stuff. But even with like the kid drama of hunger, doesn't match Israel's dramatic hunger that they have here. Israel is over the top. They say, if only we had died at the hand of the Lord in Egypt. Right? You remember where they were slaves? Oh, if we would have only died because back then we sat by flesh pots and had our fill of bread. In flesh pots, by the way, means, it may be translated differently in your Bible, but in your translation, but it's a pot where they're cooking meat in. But I heard flesh pots and I got kind of excited because I thought maybe it was a pot made out of meat. That'd be kind of, you know how they make bread bowls? Like, and then you eat the soup and then you can eat the bowl? Like, what if they had a meat bowl? Sounds delicious, but that's not what it was. It's just a flesh pot cooking meat. Anyway, they're actually wishing that they had died by the Lord's hands in Egypt when they were in slavery. They were in slavery, and we have just a bit of glorifying the past here, right? Because they're saying, oh, there was flesh pot. This makes it sound like it was all campfires with meat and bread all the time. They were slaves. They were being worked to death. Pharaoh made them kill their babies. That's where they came from. They were being worked to death, and Pharaoh was even making them kill their, Moses himself was supposed to have been killed by his mother. That's how his life started. And so the Israelites were saying, no, I wish we were back in Egypt. I wish we were back there. Because here they are in the wilderness, and they were exposed. And when you're exposed in the wilderness, your only hope is that God will provide for you. And in that spot where the only hope they had was God providing for them, it got a little scary. And so Israel made the decision in the midst of that fear. They made the decision that they would rather have slavery than God. They would rather have slavery than God. And they tricked themselves into thinking that slavery, where they had a Pharaoh that was working them to death and killing their children, they tricked themselves into thinking that slavery was a better situation for them than to be dependent upon God. They remembered things wrong, and they talked themselves into this belief that slavery was better than God. Have you ever done this yourself? Have you ever chose slavery to sin that you know is destroying you? You know is destroying your relationship. Have you chosen slavery to sin rather than to be in a naked and vulnerable spot where you have to depend upon God? But God answers. God answers. And the Lord provides manna, provides bread from heaven for the people of Israel. So every morning when they get up, they're supposed to go out and collect this food so that they would have enough for the day. They can't collect enough for the week, though. You can only collect enough for that day. You can't collect enough for today and tomorrow because it spoils. You have to, every day, you have to depend just for that day. Every day, you have to rely upon God, and then tomorrow, you have to rely upon God again, and the day after, you have to rely upon God to give you bread for that day as well, until the day before the Sabbath, and then the day before the Sabbath, since you're supposed to rest and not work, you can collect 2 days' worth. Not 3 days' worth, but 2 days' worth on that day so that you can have bread to eat on that day and then on the Sabbath day. So you imagine this pattern that develops of what they were supposed to do and what their life was supposed to be like every morning. Every morning they get up, you hope that God came through again. You look, you see that God has come through again. You receive the gift of life that God has for you. You live the day, you go to sleep. You get up, you hope that God has come through again. You look and you see that God has come through again. You receive the gift of life that God has given you. You do your day and then you go to sleep. You get up in the morning again. You hope, I hope God came through again. You look out and you see that God has come through again. And then you receive the gift of life that God has given you. And then you live your day a time and time and time again. And this is within the prayer that Jesus taught us, by the way, right? He said, you know, we do the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then what? Give us today our daily bread. It doesn't say, give us today a bread for a year. Give us today our daily bread. Lord, I depend upon you today. I'm going to trust that when tomorrow comes, you'll take care of me tomorrow. But for today, I'm depending upon you today. Give me today my daily bread. it's not really a surprise, though, that Israel has a little bit of trouble with this. They hesitate on this whole thing. I mean, first we know they hesitated because they kind of wanted to go back into slavery. But even with this, you can only get today's bread for today. And it's not a surprise that if you were to keep on reading where we were reading, by the time you get to verse 20, you find that some Israelites, they went out on that day and they were supposed to collect enough bread for that day. Did they collect enough bread for only that day? No, they tried to collect bread for today and tomorrow because, golly, what if the manna doesn't show up tomorrow? I better take care of myself. And so in verse 20, we find people trying to keep extra bread for themselves. And then it spoils and they get yelled at. And then by the time we get to the Sabbath, you know, you're supposed to collect enough, and they collect enough so that they can have some for today and for the Sabbath tomorrow. And the Sabbath day comes and they know there's not going to be any bread on the ground because today we're not working. We're using the bread from yesterday. And they know that, but they still go out and they try to collect some on the Sabbath to see if it's out there because I want extra bread because I have to take care of myself. What if this doesn't happen tomorrow? That's not a surprise though, right? Like, that's human nature. Like, I know that we're supposed to trust in you, God, but I still kind of want to take care of myself. I know I'm supposed to trust in you, but I kind of don't. I really want to make sure that I can gather enough for myself. This is awesome that it's here today. I don't know if it's really going to be here tomorrow, so I'm going to have more for myself. This story has such a human element, doesn't it? Such a human element. Like, we see Israel that's like, well, I could depend upon God, or no, I'm going back to slavery. Or Israel that comes out and says, I know God's going to provide for me today, right? And he says he's going to provide for me tomorrow, but I'm going to do some extra to take care of myself. It's such a human element where we can see ourselves that you know, we choose to be a slave to fear and sin rather than have freedom in Christ. We know that God is going to provide for us, but we want to take care of ourselves because we don't trust him. Like, when it comes down to it, we don't trust him. But here in this story, we see something amazing. I think this is showing us something amazing about God. I think the story is telling us about God's heart for us. And one of the tremendous blessings of this week, of the worship services I got to be at, and the talks I got to hear, and the prayers that I got to do, and the prayers I got to be involved in, is I was reminded of God's heart. I was reminded that God loves us. And I know I say that. I'll say that often, and I believe it. Like, I believe it. But I believe it. But sometimes you believe it, but it's hard to believe it. Does that make sense? You believe it, but do you believe it? And it was just a good reminder for me. God loves me. God loves me. God loves you. And God wants to take care of you. God wants to take care of you. Each day, Israel went out and received bread from heaven each day, every day. And what that means is every morning was a new dawn of grace. Every morning was this new opportunity for God to love them. Each moment of hunger was a new chance for God to provide for you, for God to meet you and fill you. I mean, Israel cried out. And they cried out against Moses, they complained, and they asked for slavery. They said, I'm convinced it would have been better to die in Egypt than to be out here. They asked for slavery because they were convinced that their issue, they were convinced that their hunger was merely for food. That if they had more food, things would be better. That was what they're convinced of, and so they cry out, calling for slavery. But when God answers Israel's cry, praise God that God doesn't give them what they ask for. Praise God that God doesn't give them what they ask for. Instead, God takes care of them. God knew better than Israel did. And he answers them out of grace. Food was momentary. What they needed was God. What they needed was God. Our hunger that we have is for God. It's really for God. You and me, we hunger for God. Those hungers and drives and desires, those spots in us, that unsettledness in our heart, we want God. I mean, think of all that you're chasing and going after, how busy you are and how you're striving and going and trying to do something with that unsettledness in you. What you desire. What you desire is the peace of God. You desire God. Our souls long and hunger for God. And of course Israel wanted to take care of themselves. Because it's hard to trust. It really is hard to trust. And so we say, I need to take care of myself. But here's the thing. We can't take care of ourselves. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We try and we try and we chase and we chase and we strive and we strive and we fall and we fail. We need God. We need God. Yesterday I was having a conversation with Asa, our four-year-old. He had just finished using the potty. Pretty cool thing. And we were having this conversation, and Asa turned, he looked at me and he goes, Daddy, I'm not really a big boy, am I? And I said, well, in some ways you are, Asa. You know, you're not a baby anymore. You're getting bigger. And you're using the potty, and Daddy really appreciates that. You know? I said, but, you know, yeah, you've got a lot of growing to do. You do. You got things to grow into, and you're going to get bigger. I said, but, you know, you're still your daddy's little boy. And I wonder if maybe sometimes God wants us to just look at him in an honest moment and say, you know, Daddy, I'm not as big as I think I am I? I really do need you. No, Daddy, I'm not as big as I think I am. So every day, God gives them bread, every day. And we need to consider that maybe God wasn't doing this everyday thing because he wanted to just mess with their heads or catch them cheating or whatever. Maybe God gave them bread every day because maybe, just maybe, God wanted a chance to take care of his kids every day. Every day. Because he loved them. So every day, he wanted this chance to give them a new gift and to take care of them and to provide for them every day. Every day. And you see, I'm convinced that God wants to take care of us too. And, you know, we most likely don't know what we really need. We get confused. And sometimes we even want bad things, like to fall back into slavery or whatever that is, and slavery to sin. Or maybe we think our problem is really one thing, but it's really something else. Like, if I just had that bread, Lord, I'd be fine. But our problem isn't food. Our problem is we need God. Our souls hunger for the living God. I was reminded of that this week. How much my soul hungered for the living God. And so I've got something I'm going to share with you. I was praying yesterday. I had a wonderful time of prayer in the chapel back there. And in the chapel, there's this stained glass window. And I just really felt like I was supposed to share this with you today. I was looking at the stained glass window in my prayer time. And there were four sheep that caught my eye in this, as I was kind of contemplating these things. The first two sheep that caught my eye were the two that Jesus is touching. Jesus is holding that little lamb and just embracing the other lamb. He's got them there and caring for them and holding them, loving them. I thought about that. And I thought about this other lamb over there. He's got his head bowed. And I was just thinking, it's kind of like, you know, I know you're Lord, and I know I'm supposed to do the right thing, and this whole, you know, I know I'm supposed to show reverence, and I can answer the right questions, and know I need to do and believe the right things, but he isn't being held. There's that physical distance. He's not on Jesus' lap. And then there's another sheep, the fourth sheep, way in the back, and I wandered away. Was eating grass somewhere else, even pointed the wrong direction, not even looking at Jesus. Sometimes we wander away, don't we? And look for grass elsewhere. And I was just thinking about that and praying through that. I just really felt like you needed to know that Jesus wants to hold you and love you. He wants you to be that lamb on his lap that he's embracing and caring for, and loving. Even if you've wandered off, he still wants that. He still wants to bring you back in and hold you. And goodness, even if you're doing the right thing, and sometimes we get stuck in like trying to be the right person so hard that we forget that it's really about God just taking care of us. I don't know where you're at or who this is even speaking to, but you know, which sheep are you today? Which sheep do you relate to today? Because whoever you are and wherever you're at in that, you need to hear this. Jesus Christ loves you and wants to hold you and embrace you in that love. Like you can be that little lamb on his lap. And maybe it just starts with this. Maybe it just starts with you saying, you know, Daddy, I'm not as big as I think I am. I just need you to hold me now and take care of me. I need you to take care of me today. And then when tomorrow comes, I'm going to need it again then too. And so we're going to close in a bit of a different way today. I want to give us a time to be in prayer, to maybe pray through that, to be able to maybe just ask God, God, would you just hold me? Would you just hold me? Would you just take care of me? To pray, you know, Jesus promised us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with that comes peace. There's all sorts of stuff out of your control all around you, but God has promised you his peace. God has promised you his peace through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so maybe that's today something where you pray and say, Lord, just take care of me. Give me your peace. Give me your peace. Even though the storm is raging on, we sang a song this week where it said, the wind and the waves still know his voice. The storm may be going on, but the wind and the waves still know his voice. And so maybe you just need to curl up in his lap and let him take care of you. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sing. We'll start singing kind of a cappella here. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. And as we do that, maybe you want to pray in your seat. But maybe you want to come up here at the rails and pray through that. Or maybe you want to come up to the altar and pray. Maybe you want to be at the foot of the cross. I don't know. But I do know this. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants to hold you and take care of you. And so let's pray through that.